First of all, I want to thank everybody for coming, I guess. I want to thank the Rosh Yeshiva for this tremendous opportunity. First time in my entire life giving the Sicha at Yeshivat Lev HaTorah. I'll be very honest, I would have appreciated if you would have clapped when Boaz mentioned that I was speaking instead of the, thanks for nothing. Okay, I'm going to try my best also to keep to the time limit, which is whenever I want to end. I'm going to also try, there's been a lot of hype, I'm going to try my best to entertain you. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. If you've met me before, you know. Is that rain? Yeah. Oh, I left my windows open. I'll be right back. Okay, let's begin. First of all, I don't know what, I've never sat in a sicha before, so I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I was told I'm supposed to throw out questions and stories and stuff. That's not going to happen. I have a little bit of a problem right in the beginning of the parsha that I want to discuss, and because many of you will be going this lovely Shabbos to Hebron, I want to discuss a good friend of ours in the parsha, the beginning of the parsha, our good friend Sari Menu, and what exactly happened, the action-packed beginning of the parsha. We all know what happened, comes along, our dear friend Abraham, he finds out that his wife is no longer with us, and he says, I want a coveted place to bury her. So where does he go? What better place than? Wake up! Hebron! Now, he goes to Hebron, and he wants to buy a specific plot of land. What plot of land is that? You got that right. Right? Because who's buried there? Very interesting. Yeah. And now he goes, and Ephron finds out, who, by the way, that day was appointed to be the head, the prince, the king, because it should be covetic to Avram Avinu to talk to somebody of that stature for a different sicha. And what is he told? Ephron says, yo, my brother, you know how much money this is going to cost? How much?
Nothing.
Nothing, nada, zilch. Any other zeros in other languages? Nothing, it's not costing you anything. So Avram says, no, I want to pay for it, he says. Everyone says, what? No. You're a prince of God. It's free. Free. So Avram says, no. Avram says, I want to pay full value for what this costs. Now, before we continue, what problem do I have with what Avram asked? I have a question on Avram. I hate to question him in here in the base medrash. What is my question on Avram? Anyone? Please stop raising your hands. What? Yeah. Can I say it a little bit better? Is this guy Jewish? He was just offered something for free. What? There's also the reason I want to pay full price. Jews don't pay full price. We go to Sims. What's going on? Rabbi, I love a shalom. It's closing soon. We're bankrupt. Apparently an educated consumer is not the best customer. So, what's going on? And now, you want to really get the zinger? Here's the zinger. Ephraim says, okay, you want to pay full price? Okay, how much is it going to cost? Anybody know? 400 what?
Silver.
New, what does the Gemara say about Messiah? What kind of silver coins are they? Not regular silver coins, my friends. Special type of silver coin. Silver coin, the Centra coin, which was what? Worth 100 times. Right? 100 times 40 is? I don't know. It's a lot. 40,000! Just think of it today, Rabbi Sai. The price of the shekel, 40,000 shekel it costs. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars. Dollars, you know dollars.
Rabbi, it's 4,000.
Yeah, okay. 40,000. Could you imagine that everybody said yes to that? He paid 40,000 according to the Gemara. Paid 40,000. It's 100 times 400. Yeah. So, how could it be? So not only did he not get it, he got the worst deal ever. He paid a ridiculous amount of money for this. Why? Why does he want to do this? Reminds me of the following story. You don't mind if I tell a story, do you? True story. True story. It happened to me. Back in the day, okay, none of my stories are true, but this one's true. Back in the day, you probably don't remember this. I maybe shouldn't admit this. My year in Israel, so I went to yeshiva, very close to where the Kotel is, called my Kotel. And we thought we were, as my Rosh Yeshiva used to say, firmer from God, and we were protected by God. So we would often go to the shuk. You know, the shuk that's right there. I don't know now if that's recommended. And we decided that we're going to buy some presents. We're going. Unfortunately, I was going home for the Passover holiday season. And we're about, you know, you're going to get a bargain. Obviously, it's in the shuk. So it was early in the morning. We went to the shuk. And our good friend, Ahmed, was there. And Ahmed, we were looking at some things. Do you want to buy this camel? It's very good for you, this camel. No, we don't want to buy the camel. I saw something I liked. Fine. So I said to Ahmed, "Nu, Ahbila de Sohlewa, how much does this cost?" I'm kidding. And Ahmed said to me, right, this story doesn't sound so good for you, so I'll move it to your, that's the date of the 1500 shekel to the dollar, so I'm not, you know, he's like, it's 40,000 shekels, I'm like, an American, that's $1.25. So I'm working out the deal now, right? Let's say, he says the item's 100 shekel. I said, 100 shekel, Ahmed, Habibi, come on, you're my buddy. So I decided to totally lowball him, you know, that's the, you know, I need to play, you know how to play the game, right? We say 100, right, yeah. Fine. So I went with some crazy number. I said 20 shekel. He says, I'm like, what? Holy moly! I got this thing for 20. It's great. It's a good thing. Hartstein, you're going to go into business one day. You're a good guy. I was scared. So, it bothered me. I left, and I couldn't believe it. As I'm walking back, all I'm thinking to myself is, I'm an idiot. Why did I offer him only 20? I should have offered him 10. If I would have offered him 10, I would have got it. He was going to accept anything. So you know what I decided to do, Rabbi Isai? I went back to Ahmed, and I said to Ahmed, I don't want to give the money, I don't get back. Can I ask you a question, Ahmed? Why'd you do that? You know, Ahmed and I are good friends now. Ahmed, Habibi, Salaam Alaikum Barakat. Why did you go with the 20 shekel? He goes, you want me to tell you a story? Come here. Come here. Have some hookah with me, I tell you. No, I didn't. It was no. So, he told me the following thing. He said, we people at the shuk have a tradition. And our tradition is as follows. He didn't say it like that. Our tradition is, the first sale of the morning, when a Jewish person comes, especially the ones with the, you know, the kippah, those people, whatever you offer us, we take. It's a skula. What are you talking about? What do you mean? He goes, because the rest of the day, you're going to walk around and you're going to say to yourself, shoot, I should have asked for less. I would have got it. He took the first bid. I'm such an idiot. And for us, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have Jews going around the whole day saying, oh, I could have offered better. He knows the Jewish psyche. That's what he said to me. I said, I will never shop in the store again. No, then what did we do? The entire shiva I called him the next morning went to get the first sale at the shuk. 10 shekel, 5 shekel, 3 shekel. It didn't work. But that doesn't make sense yet. That's exactly the mindset. I don't understand. Why did Avram do that? But I'll ask you even a bigger question. Your brother Shalom, the first man of Asarim, promised him all of Eretz Yisrael. He should have just come in there. That guy's loaded with all of his cattle, with all of his army. Go, hey! You know who I am? I'm Abe. I'm the man. Look! This is a Torah. See what it says in it? This is my land. Get out of here. Not only that, he says, I want to pay for it. And when he offered him the $40,000, he says, okay, fine, I'll take it. What? Is he Jewish? So my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, wants to answer this with the following point. The Gemara says the following case. Gemara Bar Masir, Daf Lamed Ches. Gemara says the following. The Mishnah says, Hamachkir Peres Eitzel Chaverim. Right? You bring your delicious fruits to your friend. Let's say, let's pick, Rav Benji's not here, so let's remember him, Latoyva. He has a banana tree. You bring your bananas. And Afilu Haim Odim Loyagabahem. So now your friend sees that your bananas are getting really brown, maybe a little black, and he says, you know what? Let me do him a favor. Let me go to Ahmin in the Shuk and let me get some money for them because they're gonna go horrible soon. Zok the Mishnah. You can't do that. Loyagabahem. Why? Zok the Gemara. The Gemara says, my timer, what's going on over here? What? You shouldn't do something nice for your friend? He told you to watch a bushel of bananas, and you have the ability to either sell them now and make $50 on them, or let them rot and forget about it. It's up to Gemara, my time, Omer of Kahana, Adam Roitze Bekav Shelo, Mitisha Kavin Shel Chavera. I prefer what I did, what I toiled in more, than even nine of somebody else. Zuck Rav Aaron, that's exactly what's going on over here. What's the Gemara talking about? What is Rav Kahana saying here? Rav Kahana is saying, what I toiled for, what is mine, is even more important to me than anything else in the world. What I've worked on with my tears, that's what I like even more. Zuck, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's exactly what's going on over here. He knew that he owned the land. He knew the Rabbonu Shalom gave him the land, but he says, the Svei Dinim. There's two Dinim over here. The first din is the din that God gave him the land. He had a physical title over the land. He had a contract from the Rabbanu Shalom signed, sealed, delivered. And what did it say on it? This is your land. Abraham, Jews, land, Israel, belongs to you. He says, that's not enough. I want a psychological title. I want a title I'm going to give money over. That's what I want. I want to work. I want it to my land. Because you know why? There's going to come a day where someone's going to want to take away Chevron. Where someone's going to want to take away Maris HaMachpelah. And what do you think they're going to do? They're going to say, wait! No! Don't take it away. There's something in the Torah about it's ours. Ours? No. I want them to say, that's my grandfather's, Abraham. He paid for it. He worked. He toiled for that land. That's his! That's worth more than anything else. And when you come back and you get those bananas and they're all black and you look at them, you go, oh, perfect. I can make some delicious banana crumb cake with that. It's mine. I worked on it. I toiled it. That's what's going on over here. What an amazing lesson. That's a lesson in you work on something, you toil on something, it means a lot more. That's what Torah is, Rabbi Yisai. You were all given Torah. You all came here for the year, you're given Torah on a silver platter. You all were born into this religion. Most of you have learned Torah for a good portion of your life, and it was given to you. But if you don't toil for the Torah, it's worthless. Every morning, we're supposed to say, some of us say it, some of us don't, Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Morosha Kilas Yaakov. Little kids. What is Morasha? It's up to Gemara. I'll become Morasha Ela Me'udusa. You're married to Torah. What does it mean you're married to Torah? What does it mean? It means that the Torah has to be part of you. It has to be something you're going to toil for, you're going to work on. It's not a gift that's just given to you. What's a Morasha? What does Morasha mean in English? Not the camp. What? A what? An inheritance. I disagree. What?
So I was just going to go to camp. I didn't know there was
a meeting. Yeah, there is. Somebody want to art school me? They got to write art school. Art school me. No, not you. No. That's not arch gold. Something else. Arch gold. Last parsha of the Torah. Torah Tzivlana Moshe. What does it say? What is it called? Or take out a sinner. Torah Tzivlana Moshe. What does the arch gold say? It doesn't say it's an inheritance. Archical sinner, come on, let's go. Who's going to find it first? Oh, Rav Hertzing found it already. Nobody? Anyone?
Yeah, I got it.
Go ahead.
Heritage.
What?
Heritage.
What's the difference between an inheritance and an heritage? I'll tell you what. Grandpa Moneybucks dies. Grandpa Moneybucks leaves you an inheritance. You take that inheritance, you do whatever you please with that inheritance. You get $5 million, I'll find you a way. You can blow the money away in one day. Come with me, I'll show you. I know it's difficult. We can do it. Don't worry. We'll work together as a team. We won't go to the shuk because everything's cheap there. We can do it. You get the money, you do with it as you please. Forget about it. But the Torah is not a morasha, does not mean that it is an inheritance that you could do with whatever you want. It's a heritage. It's something that gives you the toil on to work on. Not like an inheritance where you can do whatever you want. It's like the same money bucks. Before he dies, he comes and says, listen, I'm not giving you a penny. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to work. I want you to work hard. You work hard, I'll give you money. I want you to work in the company, not hard. Not the guy that walks and goes, oh, the grandfather. His grandfather, because he's going to be a big guy. No. Work on it. It's a heritage. You got to work on Torah. Physical title, psychological title. It's yours. It belongs to me. I want it to be mine. That's what the whole year is about. The Torah belongs to you. It's yours. It's for you to grab. You didn't have this opportunity in years past. Rav Aaron quotes, surprisingly, not surprisingly to those that knew Rav Aaron, Prince Rudolph. Don't be confused with the reindeer. He was a monarch in Australia, second to the throne. He visited Eretz Yisrael. He said, I visited the cave of Machpelah. There, I was overwhelmed with the realization that my feet stood in this place of the saintly Hebrew patriarchs. Involuntarily, I knelt down, lifted my hands over heaven, tears streaming down, and I said, oh dear, holy patriarchs. Wait, where? Oh, he's not here. Shoot, the Australian guy.
Oh, I can do it.
Go ahead. Say, holy patriarchs, Abraham.
Holy patriarchs, Abraham.
No, from Australia, freak. Did I say Austria? Oh. Abraham. Good. Okay. Maybe somebody else can take a stab at it. You've always been paid thousands of years. You're a prince of God by Ephron the Hitti. The Hittite. Who offered this burial ground? Sarah. But you declined, Abraham. You declined it. You opened your arms before his lot, 10 million children dispersed and scattered among the lands. They've been oppressed by tyrants, murderers. They find no resting place, even for their money. Fearful and sad. Is this lot the life of your children? Holy Abraham, I will endeavor in my power. You're right, he was from Austria. I will ascend one day to the throne of Austria.
Is it Austrian to
Austria? I don't know. I don't know. It's like, what's his name? Bruno. Well, I was thinking of the governor of California, but okay. Holy patriarch. Okay, so. Yeah, right, yeah, whatever. I moved to Israel 4 years ago. I don't know what's going on. Bush is still president, right? So,
yeah.
We learned this important point. Again, our first point of the evening, toiling in Torah. We'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. Now let's get back to our good friend Sarah. Sarah dies. Nebuch, why did she die? Right. Comes to the Midrash and says she died because she heard that her son was about to be killed, or was killed. And unfortunately, by the way, he wouldn't even come back, so he went to sit and learn Torah.
How did she find out?
Malachim. Midrash. Right, the Satan.
Malach. Did he go learn Torah?
What? Ah, it's a question. Stop. That's a challenge. There was such thing as a Torah. They followed the Torah, what they studied. Good question. So, it says, the Pasuk says, Vayi Chayesara, Mea Shana, Vesim Shana, Sheva Shana, Shnei Chayesara. First, you say, what do you repeat this for? Zach Rashi, Shnei Chayesara, Kulam Shavim L'Toyva. This is the only person ever in the Torah where they enumerate Mea Shana, Esrim Shana, Sheva Shana, right? She was all equal in all of her stature. And it says, what? What did I just say? Kulam Shavim L'Toyva. They were all good. They were perfect. Each of those years were great. What? Wait. They were all great? What do you mean they were all great? I know the story of Sarah. She had some pretty difficult years. Remember she had to hide in that box? Remember Paro? He wasn't so nice to her. She had that crazy husband who made her move to Israel. According to the Medrash, she had to actually encircle all of Israel to make a kinyan chazak on it. She had a really happy life, yeah. She had no children. How many years? What do you mean she had a happy life? The Tzaddik Rav Zusha says, what does it mean? Yeah, I'll go there. She said, because she was a tzaddikas. She had a munah and bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And as the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Tes says, what did she always say? Gamzu l'toyva, kach mevarchim. We're supposed to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even things that appear to us to be ra is gamzu l'toyva. She had avon ratzon that she recognized that whatever was being dealt her way was for good. And there was nobody like her. But, however, maybe, I will speculate, the Midrash also tells us the famous story of the evil Haman. Haman comes and Haman says, I need to pick a day to kill the Jews. So let's have a raffle, a lottery. And he has the lottery and he picks the first one. And guess what the first date that was picked was? That was way after. First one was Cheshvan. Or Mar Cheshvan. He goes, holy cow, Mar Cheshvan. That's a Mar Cheshvan. It's perfect. What a great lottery. I won. Wait a minute, he says. Haman was a very smart guy. No, Sarah was born that day. Sarah died, I'm sorry, that day. Then he got Nisan. No, Nisan is Nigla Yudim. No. Then what did he get after that? We know. Then he got Adar. It was a Shiloh. We don't have time for now. Why Zion Adar? Moshe Rabbeinu also. No. Maybe we could say that that's exactly what she imbues Sarah. He knew who she was. Every day of her life she was happy even when things were sad. She had a moon and bitachon that everything was going to be good. So why then did she die because her son was going to be killed? Akedesh Hashem, why not? Oh yeah, everything was great until it was your son. You know, we often have this. People will go up to you and go, no, everything should be okay. I heard you lost your job. No, everything should be great. It's okay. Sometimes you want to look at the guy and punch him in the face and say, yeah, everything should be good for you when you lose your job. Everything's great. Baruch Hashem. You have to have a munah b'tacha b'shem. Yeah. Yeah, when's the last time you lost your job? Person's sick. You go to Isha, but God's watching over. God's watching over you. And then the guy, God's watching over me. Okay. Be careful what you say to people. So what happened to Sarah over here? Now all of a sudden she loses every bitachon? No. Because she realized that bitachon that she had was v'chai b'hem. She said, my son's going to be killed at such a young age? I wanted to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem, but v'chai b'hem. The way we're supposed to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem. I want to have the ability to have a son who's going to be as happy as I was. To understand Gamzul HaToyva. To work, as we said, and toil on what he's working on to reach the heightened levels of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I was very upset. Somebody put a poster up in the yeshiva. It's not one of those public service messages. And it was defaced! And whoever did it should... No. Don't raise your hand if you put it up. Who is this? Where did he go? This is Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel's picture. An alumni of what it says ICJA, we all know it as Ida Crown. I know somebody who was in his class. Natty Finkel. That was his name. Ambition? Undecided. Student council president. Co-op store salesman. Senior club. Baseball team. He was tall, by the way. Homeroom chairman. Why was the sign up? Anybody know why the sign was up? Why did somebody put the sign up? To inspire you, why? Because some people would say, oh, guess what? He went to Ida Crown and inspired that he became the Gadol Hador. I say to you, no, my friends. I say he went to Ida Crown and because of that he became a Gadol Hador. Because of that he became a Rosh Yeshiva, the greatest yeshiva in the entire world, the largest yeshiva. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said the following thing. So we commemorate his Shloshim this week. The trials and tribulations of great Avraham Avinu. The trials and tribulations of Avraham Avinu were many. What were they? So different Rishonim, Achronim say different things. It seems that the first two were famous Kivshon HaEshem. Before that, Nimrod, he had to hide from him for 13 years. He had to hide in the ground. It was a horrible situation. And then there came Lech Lecha. Comes along the Rambam. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam says, no, we start the test and triple trials and tribulations from Lech Lecha. Why? Ask Rav Nosson Tzvi. So he says, my Zaydi, Nosson Tzvi Finkel, said in his Sefer the following. Physical trials and tribulations, that'd be hard. But spiritual trials and tribulations, that'd be even harder. A person who's having a difficult surgery, a person who's going through Rechmano Litzlan, a physical ailment, illness, psychological, physical, whatever it might be, that's hard. That's difficult. But you can get through that. Spiritual, that's extremely hard. You have great Rabbanim of the generation who used to go to surgery and say, I don't want anesthesia. I don't want anesthesia because I don't want to know that there could be a complication. I won't be able to learn Torah. Told over by some great tzaddikim, they would say, wait, do the surgery. I need a half hour before to prep myself. Prep yourself. What are you going to do? We're not giving you anesthesia, dude. You're in trouble. He would immerse himself in a sugya in Gemara. He'd learn the Gemara. He would say, hey, do the surgery. He would just be learning the Gemara. That's a crazy level, right? It's a crazy level. Okay, fine. It's a crazy level. But we all know this to be true. You come to Israel for the year to reach those spiritual heights. And then one little thing happens, something, this, that, a letter, maybe an email or something. Maybe an ex-girlfriend. And the spiritual level goes down. And you say, I don't understand Hashem, I've been working so hard on it. It's Charif Zman. This is it, this is the time. Nothing, what's going on? Those are the challenges. In B'chukos Aite Lechu, says Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, to Amelim Batorah. The Amelus Batorah is so hard. To toil the Torah. We know that it's hard. It's spiritual level. It's to have what Sarah had, the Amunah, and the Bitachon and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when things get rough, I still have Amunah and Bitachon. This is not in spite of. This is because of. This is someone who even when he went to the Meir Yeshiva, says his chavrusa of 10 years, who I know, said he dressed like all you dressing over here. Well, maybe not some of you. He didn't dress like a yeshiva bacher, like we would see. He was still Natty Finkel. But he grew, because he kept wanting to grow the spiritual level. He knew the outside world, he knew. And every single year, when the Entius Y'Kola would meet him, unlike other Rosh Yeshiva and Great Gedolim, he didn't come in there and say, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva, and I was an Amel when I was 5 years old, I wore my full sefer, and I wouldn't go to sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, you know, I went to Ida Crown. That was the first thing he would say coming out of his mouth. It wasn't in spite of that, it was because of that. That's who I am. And I can grow spiritual levels. Look what I became. Because I know where I'm from and I know the outside world. And he learned with everybody, every chavrusa. We have to remember that you're in Israel. We have to remember the fact wherever you came from is because of that you're going to be a better person. Not in spite of that, because of that. You're going to grow upon that spiritually. You're going to take the message of Aaron Soloveitchik, of Marisa Machpelah. It's ours, Rabbi Isai. Not only because Hashem promised us. We work, we toil for that land. It belongs to us, it's always ours. That's what your Torah has to be. That's what your Emunah has to be. But especially when it comes to spiritual matters. We often test the Ribbono Shel Olam. Questions, are we allowed to test the Ribbono Shel Olam? Tell you another true story. Some of the boys heard it. I'll tell you now the true ending of it, as opposed to the one I told last night. Question is, can you test the Ribbono Shel Olam? Going out with a girl. I don't know if it's Shaykh. Are you allowed to walk outside now in the midst of the rain and say, God, is she for me? Is she the right one? Show me a sign, Ribbono Shel Olam. Show me a sign, the great God of the Lord, that I have to the earth. Make it be for me a sign for the heavens and the earth. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Oh, you said it. Right? Is it a sign? Is it something? Can I hear something from the heavens? And all of a sudden it starts raining. Whoa! The guy's like, holy cow! I'm going to marry her! It's amazing! You know, the guy comes out, he's like, it's been raining for like 20 minutes, dude. It's the rainy season. Don't make it so much. Comes a pasha to Yid. Not such a pasha to Yid. I won't say his name. He goes to the kotel, and he's in the midst of a shidduch, and he's not so as a shaykh. This is not a story about me. It's for another time, those stories. He's not so as a shaykh. And he downs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says, I need a sign. I just don't know. Is she for me or not? I don't know. Please, Hashem, a sign. I don't ask you so much. Finishes his tefillah. And out of the kotel, a little petek falls from one of the cracks. And now you got this weird situation, because it falls on the floor, something I've always wanted to do. Do you read it or not? Is that a sign from Hashem, or am I being disgusting and reading somebody's letter? And he opens it up, and it says, I am the Pope. No. It says, you realize it's not a letter at all. It's this. And he opens it up. And it's a piece of a sitter that was in the kotel for some reason. I'm going to let you redeem yourself now. And it's a piece of the kotel that's there. It's a piece from a sitter. That's all it is. Nothing written on it, nothing. Just a piece from a sitter. What does the piece say from the sitter? Veristichli li'olam. What does it mean in English? I will, yes. What is another word for betrothed? Holy moly, wackanolis. He has a piece of the sitter, has one piece on it, and all it says is Veristichli li'olam. I will marry you. He asked for a sign from God, and the piece of the sitter falls down and says, I will marry you. Dude, that guy ran home and proposed to that girl so quickly. They're divorced now. No. It's amazing. The problem is sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes those things happen to us and it's not there. It's not there on both sides. The last story, maybe the last story for the evening. I told this story, a gorgeous story. It's a true story. Mamish, a true story. Rabbi Reisman told me this story. A Hasidish guy from Brooklyn, Ukraine, he's got a big business deal. This Hasidish guy came up with some macher chacha hakan machin thing. And he got a meeting at one of the largest companies in, unfortunately, but it was in England. And he had to present it. And he spent months preparing it. And he knew if he got this in, millions and millions of dollars for this zachen chachen that he was doing. he gets up the morning he's going to go to lovely United Kingdom. And he calls the cab. Cab pulls over. Hello, where would you like to go, my dear friend? So he wanted to start practicing his English. So he said, good day, mate. I'd like to go to England. This is very nice. Are you a Jewish man? You have a long, very, very nice beard. Very, very nice, your beard. Very nice. Well, turns out that this young Pakistani driver was not a big fan of the Jews. And he started to take him on a little bit of a ride. He said, where are you going? We're going to the airport. Oh, there's very much of traffic today, my dear friend, the Hasidic man. He's Jamaican also. And he took him, he got there, running mamish to the plane. They won't let him on the plane. He missed the plane. He's dying. He's, oh my God. He starts making the calls to the office. Listen, I missed my plane. I can catch the next plane. They go, if this isn't important enough to you, forget about it. You're done. You're done. Get out of here. You're done. What? I'm done? What do you mean? The meeting's canceled. If you don't make it by the time you said you were coming, I don't want you to come tomorrow. You're done. This chassid gets in the car, months of all this work. He says, I can't believe this. So what do you do when you're a chassid and something like this happens to you and you're tested spiritually? You go to the Rebbe. Goes to the Rebbe, he goes into the private room of the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe! Pakistan, he bought a very, very good. Tells the whole story. It's the plane. I missed the plane. The plane. I missed it. And the Rebbe says, "Oh my God! Close the door. Did you not hear what happened? You were going on a plane to England, yeah? Where have you been for the last hour? That plane crashed. 336 people died. It's what? The plane that you." Chassi gets up. I give you a Shabbos. This is very, very good for me. Because Rabbi, I'm making the biggest kiddush tomorrow. The biggest kiddush ever. We're going to have kugel, chillin, schnitzels, and the whole kinds of mice. I'm the best, baby. And the Rabbi, you idiot. That's what it took? 336 people had to die in a plane for you to realize there are Rebbeinu Shalom's in your life? That's what you needed? Chutzpah. That's what you needed? There's no plane crash, you idiot. This I'm embellishing. There's no plane crash. But the second I told you the plane crashed, then you believed in God. Then it was, wow, this was done for a reason. This was done for a reason, my dear friend. You may never know the reason for the rest of your life. There was a reason for it. This is what God wanted. This is what we call emunah. Get used to it. Get out of my office. Yeah, we all have a moon sometimes when everything's going great. Oh, I love you, Hashem. It's great. Have a moon like Sarah had a moon. When things are bad, what do you feel like? When you're trying to toil for that Torah, you're trying to get better, and you say, you know what? I don't know how to read. I can't read what this says. This is Rashi print. Who invented this crazy stuff? That's what it's all about, Rabbi Yisai. It's going to be hard. It's not easy. You're going to be Messiah and Mishnayos, and guys, Mishnayos. I'm almost finished with Shas. I'm from my modern years. And that's it. You go down spiritually. No, don't let him do it. Take the lesson of the great Avraham Avinu, Rabbi Yisai. Why? Why did you make fun of us? Why? Okay, stop. Take the lesson of Avraham Avinu. It's not good enough to be promised the Torah. The Torah has to come from another place. And where is that place, Rabbi Yisai? It's psychological. I'm going to work and I'm going to toil for something. Whatever I work on in life, I'm going to work on it. It's mine. It belongs to me. Take the lesson of Sarah Imenu. Who was Sarah? Sarah was somebody who was happy with everything that she had. And even when it came, says Rav Sternbach too, her son dying because she wanted v'chai b'hem. Because you don't want to just die al Kiddush Hashem, you want to live al Kiddush Hashem. Because you have the emunah b'tochen that everything's for good. And let's learn from what was once called Nadi Finkel, from that great Gadol Hador. That because of who I am is what I'm going to be spiritually. This was the same person who said the physical is not important, the spiritual. Look what he looked like, Rabbi Isai. He could have quit everything. He said, I can't do this anymore. I have Parkinson's. I can't give a shiur. I can't do this. I can't run a yeshiva with thousands and thousands of students. He did it. He still did it. Unbelievable. Gevurah that he had. Rabbi Isai, unbelievable. And we sometimes, we don't want to go to Minyan in the morning.
Oh, my eye hurts. I can't go to Minyan. Oh, it's killing me.
Yeah, it's killing you. Be a Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Okay? You travel every week from Chicago to New York with the left side of your body paralyzed. Rav Aaron used to say that when it came to Mizmor HaSoy, it's a chiyuv. That person has to get up for Mizmor HaSoy because it's like the korbanos. So we have to get up for it. And he says, listen, Nebuch, I'm shaking the left side of my entire body, but I get up for it. When I heard that, I go, holy cow. Sometimes, you know, you just sit down for hodu finally, and like Mizmor HaSoy, dude, I'm not getting up for this. I go, come on, let's go. Rav Aaron got up for it. He could walk. He got up for it. Spiritual. Grow spiritually. Don't miss this opportunity this year. It's an opportunity to grow spiritually. It's an opportunity for you, who you are. Not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. The Rebbe Shlomo wants to be who you are. He wants you to grow more, have emunah that everything is going to work out the way the Rebbe Shlomo's plan is. You have to have that emunah and bitachon, like we saw in Sarah. And if you have that, you will grow to be the people that you are. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be zoicha to take this message. It's so important, this message, with us. I'm told that every sicha ends with this will bring the gula. But that's the answer, Rabbi said. If you want to truly be in the army of Hashem, each of us does what he's supposed to be doing, and only the Rabbanu Shalom knows what that job is going to be. And Amir Hashem, you should take that job to light. That's the job the Rabbanu Shalom will do. Each of us with our own way, each shire that we're going to go into when Mashiach comes, is because the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to be you. He's not going to ask you if you were of a Nelson C. Finkel. He's not going to ask you if you were Ryan Soloveitchik. He won't even ask you if you were Daniel Hartstein. He's going to ask you if you were you. That's what he's going to ask you. Did you live up to Silver? Did you live up to Silverman? I told you I would remember your names. Were you them? He's not going to ask you if a Chabetz Chaim or Moshe Feinstein. No! Did you live up to what I wanted to live for you? Did you have a mood every talking when things were bad? You said, I'm going to keep going. I'm chugging at it. I don't care that it takes me a day and a half to read a Mishnah. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep reading and reading until I got to read a piece of Gemara. We shall be zechet to take that lesson with us. And Amir Hashem, keep growing and growing. B'Torah, B'Avoida, B'Gimilos Chasodim, and all things that are great. And of course, that will bring Meshech Sikhim, the Meir of Yamin. Yeah.
Reference wasn't to me, I know who it was too, though. I'm a little wet. That's good. I love it.